Okay. Rishis Rebbe. The topic that I wanted to learn about today, it's a little apropos in contemporary culture, about the gedder of an uber, because of our mesechta. Because of our mesechta, I don't have any, sorry. because of our mesechta, we're going to focus on the kinyan and yerusha aspects of the status of an uber. If you look in the Kovex Yesodos V'Chakiros under Uber, you'll get the full gamut of shittas. Of some people say that it is Bolam, some people say it's not Bolam, some people say it's somewhere in between. I'm not going to quote them because I disagree with a few of the Hagdaros. But suffice it to say, there are opinions across the spectrum, because in Uber is this sort of in between entity. It is somewhat in existence, both in relation to everybody else, as well as it's in its own personal development, as we'll see espoused by the Rima Gash and a few others, that it will radically change qualitatively from being an uvar to being a full living person. So I want to focus primarily on the Rambam's opinion. We'll hopefully address some of the other Rishonim's opinions as well, but Derech Agav. But primarily, I want to focus on the Rambam. And specifically, I think there is a shift in the Rambam between the Pirushon Mishnayos to the Adah Chazaka. I don't think it's massive. The Ktzos says, or the Ktzos tries to prove from the Rambam in Reish Nun Gimel, that the Rambam holds that it is Ba'olam. We'll see his proof. I don't think that it's entirely Mukhraf. I personally think that the Rambam holds that it's sort of this in-between category that others ascribe to the Rashbam, that it is somewhat Ba'olam, somewhat not Ba'olam. And depending on the Pirush HaMishnayos versus the Adah Chazaka, I think the Rambam kind of tilted in one direction or towards the other. That being said, how far to take that and how much you can try to be Masbir things in the Shittas HaRambam, I'm not entirely sure myself. I just wanted to kind of point out a few data points and try to cheshbin them out. So the first place we'll start is with the Rambam that Reb Chaim bases himself on when he tries to describe the category of Ubar. So the Rambam in source number one, it's based off of a Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos is in the back if you want to take a look at it. Daf Samach Zayin. It's based on a Mishnah about a machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim. Actually, let's take a look at it. It's probably Kedai. If you go to the back, it's the first of the Gemara pages. So the Mishnah says, Bas Yisrael shenises lekohen umes. If a Bas Yisrael was married to a Kohen and the Kohen died, v'nichu muveres, and she was left as left pregnant, lo yochlu avadeh b'trumet nechelkel shel ubar. The avadim cannot eat truma because of the uvar. Why? She'uvar posel ve'eno machil. Because the uvar is posel, but it cannot be machil. Divrei Reb Yossi, this is the shita of Reb Yossi. Amru lo, so the chachamim responded, me'acher she'at talonu, al bas Yisrael lekohen, af bas kohen lekohen, umeis v'nichum v'beres lo yochlu avadeh b'trumet nechel kol shel uvar. So once you're contending, again, there are various ways to explain this, but generally speaking, but very broadly speaking, once Rabbi Yossi is contending that the Ubar is shayich to impact the Avadim, has a certain shayichus with the Avadim, then if that's the case, then you should make the same thing for Abbas Yisrael as well. And then the Gemara proceeds to go through the various reasons for Rabbi Yossi. One is one potential reason why Rabbi Yossi says what he says is because Ubar v'mezara zarhu, that a fetus, while it's completely enveloped in the body of a czar, also attains the status of a czar. There's a machlokas in the Achronim as to whether that's connected to Uber Yerech Imo or not. I don't want to get into that right now. And the other opinion is that it's a gzeres hakasuv, that the Torah says, yolud, that in order to impact avodim or to impact a mother to be able to eat truma, you need to be yolud. It's a gzeres hakasuv. And then the Gemara proceeds and says that Shmuel says, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, the Chachamim argue, the Chachamim ostensibly hold that Uber does not have a chelek in these Avadim Bechlal, and so therefore, the Avadim will be able to eat if there are any siblings, or if there are no siblings, based off of a further Kohen relative. And the Rif and the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos, they both say we don't paskin like Rabbi Yossi, we paskin like the Chachamim. So now let's see the Rambam in the Yad. So if we go back to source number one at the beginning, Bas Yisrael shenisais lekohen umeis v'nichu meuberes, lo yovla vada bitruma bishvil ha'uvar, shehayolud hu shemachol, she'eno yolud, eino ma'achil. Lefichach, im haya uvar cholol eino posel ha'avadim, ela ochlin biglal echav ha'ksherim, ha'ksheyula, zeh ha'cholol v'yosur avadim ilechol. So the Rambam has an interesting psak. At first glance, seems to paskin like Rabbi Yossi, where he says that if there's a Bas Yisrael that's married to a Kohen and the Kohen dies, then they can't eat. However, as we'll see, the Rambam changes from the reason that most of the Rishonim give in the Gemara, as well as the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos of Uber Memezar Azarhu, and he goes to the pshat of Yolud Visha'eno Yolud. That's one interesting point. And the second point is that he also says that lefichach, based off of this din, if the ubar is a chalal and there are other siblings, he doesn't impact the other siblings that they should be pasul for eating truma as long as they're ksherim. And it's only when he's born and the Yerusha hasn't been divided up yet, that's when the problems begin. So the Ravid, I'm sorry, I didn't put it down here, the Ravid does not like the Rambam. The Ravid attacks the Rambam and says that if we paskin based off of our Gemara and Bava Basra, that Krova Daito Adam Eitzel Bino, that even though we paskin Ein Zechia L'Uber, you're still able to impact and bequeath things to your child, then Kavachomer to Yerusha, which is Habam Emanila, which happens automatically. And if that's the case, the Ravid says, then just like in the Reisha of the Rambam, you're not allowed to eat truma. So too in the Seifa as well. If there's an Uber that's a Chalal, if we in fact hold either we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, which most Rishonim say we don't, or as the Ravid is asserting that Yerusha Habam Mela of a person to a son is different, and that should be Chal. So therefore, a Chalal who's an Uber also shouldn't impact. So that's the Kasha of the Ravid. So now, Reb Chaim, I have it in the back. I'm not going to go through it word for word because it would take a very long time. The Chidushe HaGrah, he asks a few questions. First of all, Reb Chaim himself is medayik from the Rambam, that the Rambam agrees that Uber is Yesh Lo Zechia because he only mentions the reason of Yolud. The only reason why you're not allowed to eat is not because of Ein Lo Zechia, but rather it's because of this Gzeres HaKasav of Yolud. So if that's the case, then like the Ravid says, the Cholol should still passel. And furthermore, Reb Chaim says if the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa of the Rambam appears to be that in the Reisha there are no other siblings, because the Rambam doesn't mention it, and in the Seifa there are siblings. And that appears to be the difference, since our Chaim asks, what's the difference? Now the Chazon Ish, in his Ha'aras to Reb Chaim, he does not like Reb Chaim at all, but one of his main alternative explanations of the Rambam is that, no, that premise, or that diuk in the Rambam of Ein Lo Banim is just incorrect. That the Rambam in the Reish is also talking about where there's Banim, and it's talking about when there are no Banim Ksherim there. That's what the Chazon Ish says. But anyway, moving on. Reb Chaim puts down this yesod, that there is a chiluk between being a yoresh, or having a shame yoresh, and being zocha, being able to own those assets in totality. And in Ubar, because it exists to a certain extent, and because it has a yachas to the parent to a certain extent, therefore it has the title, or it has the status of a yoresh. Now, because it is not in existence vis-a-vis the realm of Kinyanim, so it's not able to act on that or to actualize it and to own things. However, aspects of halacha that are purely contingent on having a shem yoresh, it does count for. And now the question is, okay, so what is tully on shem yoresh and what is tully on zechiyas mama? So just to point out, and it's quite obvious, Reb Chaim is establishing a hanacha that you can split those two things. You can split the Shem Yoresh and the Zechias Mamon, and he tries to prove it from the case of Nefel. There are people that disagree with that, and you can disagree with that. But that's Reb Chaim's Hanacha. So based off of that, Reb Chaim, through multiple steps, he says that the Rambam holds that when there are no other immediate siblings, and so this Ubar is the only Yoresh, so therefore he has a Shem Yoresh, but he doesn't have a Zechus. Now, when that happens, then Reb Chaim is Mesupuk. He says maybe the other relatives, the Shar Krovim, don't get it because the Ubar will eventually be born, or could eventually be born, and therefore nobody gets it now. It's in this kind of state of limbo. Or Reb Chaim says the second option, and I think he continues with that, so it sounds like that's the one that he likes better. The other people will get it at least temporarily, and when this Ubar is born, then we'll kind of reassess the division of the assets. In both of those cases, Reb Chaim says, since this Ubar has a status of a Yoresh, and this Yoresh has Kedima to all other Yarshim, those other people don't have the status of a Yoresh. And so therefore, what's interesting is that these Avadim are associated with a Yoresh, but they're not actually owned by the Yoresh. So I guess you could understand that according to the first Tzad of Reb Chaim, that nobody gets it now. But Reb Chaim even takes it further. Reb Chaim says that even if you say that the other Shar Krovim, like uncles and whatever, they'll get it. He says even in that case, because there is this Shem Yoresh that's Rachav Aleihem, that's the Lashon that he uses, because essentially I can strong arm you later on down the line, there seems to be a chisaron in your bilus right now, so much so that it's not considered kinyan kaspo. To me, that's a big chiddush, to say that because you'll eventually own something. I mean, first of all, the Chazon Ish points this out, that Reb Chaim is essentially saying that kinyan kaspo is totally on Shem Yoresh and not Zechias Mamon, which is very counterintuitive, meaning, if the Torah uses the Lashon that in order to you need to be Kenyan Kaspo, you'd think then that you would actually need to own it or be Zoche in it. So that in itself is a Chiddush. But Reb Chaim takes it even further and says that even if these people actually own it right now, but you have a Shem Yoresh that will eventually cause them to forfeit that, that is enough to be Mevatel their Kenyan Kaspo. So again, that was a Chiddush, but that's how Reb Chaim understands that this is a special din of Truma. Just something I was talking about with some of the Chavirim here. It's very parenthetical, but if you hold like the first tzad of Rav Chaim, that nobody gets it now, what happens, like I said before, is that they're associated with a Shem Yoresh, but they're not actually owned by anybody. So nobody says that they're Meshuchrar. Nobody says that you need to that they become chayvin mitzvos, or they don't become chayvin mitzvos. You still own them. It's very clear that they were your avadim and they are your avadim when the person is born. What that means then is that the kinyan haguf, or the kinyan iser associated with an eved kanani, is contingent on the shem yoresh and not zechiyah. Which, if you consider Reb Chaim's hanacha that kinyan kaspo is associated with it, that makes sense. Again, to me, that's a bit of a chiddush. But just to kind of roll that along, yeah.
Doesn't think that the Kenyan Kaspo is telling the Shem Yoresh, it's just that the Shem Yoresh of the Uber mitigates or whatever the Kenyan Kaspo. Right, but first one, they have an elusive Kenyan, so they don't really have their Kenyan's not a real Kenyan.
Right, yes, you're right. I was not medactic with my Lashon. I agree with you 100%, but it's still impacted by it.
Correct. I'm saying it doesn't cause it.
It indirectly, meaning.
But that's not a problem. The fact that one machine version Uber can tell you that the Kenyan Kaspo, and the other, that Kenyan is not a real Kenyan because it's Gollum afraid that they were not really Yorish altogether to begin with.
Right. It just undercuts their whole status. They don't have anything. If it wasn't an Uber, they would have a Kenyan Kaspo.
But because there's any
Uber,
and
he's a Bane.
But why should the fact that I have a Shem Yoresh attenuate a Kenyan that's Tali on Zechiah?
Because they still Kenyan that's Tali on Zechiah, assuming that they would be able to compete to begin with the Umar, which they can't. Because he's a thing.
Right. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, just their whole. In other words, if the Uber wasn't in the picture, there would have been a different reality. But he is in the picture. That in turn dictates that their status is insignificant.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So I agree. To me, it was still a bit of a chiddush, but okay. Based off of this new hagdara, Reb Chaim now wants to explain the lefichach in the Rambam. So he says that because under without this gzeres hakas of yalud and eno of you need yalud and not eno yalud. So I would have thought then that the fact that this Yoresh, this Ubar has a Shem Yoresh, that would be sufficient to shaf a Kinyan Kaspo. Kam Ashmalan, that not. And that's the Lefichach of the Rambam, that because we see in the case of the Bas Kohen, where there's only this one Ubar, that it's Mevatel, the Kinyan Kaspo. So too, it works the other way by the case of the Chalo. As I said, then he proceeds to bring a raya from Nefel. I don't want to get into that so much. The Chazon Ish, the Reb Chaim is predicated on the notion that that in Ubar that is born and is lo kol lo chadashav is the status of Mace. There are Rishonim and Achronim that disagree with that, but that's the assumption that Reb Chaim is working with. Anyway, so then Reb Chaim says, okay, this is a very nice yisod, but we have a problem. We have a problem because the Gemara in Yevamos doesn't say that. The Gemara in Yevamos has the shita of the Chachamim, as we said before. Shmuel says that the Chachamim hold that if there's no living relative, then they can eat based off of a sibling or somebody else. So clearly, the Chachamim disagree with this Rambam. So where was the Rambam coming from? So Reb Chaim asserts that the Rambam was based off of the Gemara in Nida, as well as our sugya in the Gemara in Bava Basra. So he quotes Tosfos. So Tosfos in Nida asks, why did the case that the Rambam quoted about the Cohen having two wives, one of them being a grusha, one of them being a non-grusha, why do we need to have two why do we need to have two wives? Why not just have one wife and there's a grusha? There's an Ubar, and the Avadim can't eat because of this Ubar. So Tosfos answers that according to Rav Sheshes, who's the one that sets up the Ukimta that way, he says, according to Rav Sheshes, the Chachamim hold that Taka, really, Ubar Yesh Zechiah, that there is Zechiah for an Ubar, and the only reason why they disagree with that case is because there are other kids around, and therefore, it's a little bit technical based on the sugi over there, but whether we're Choshesh for Miyad, whether we're not Choshesh for Miyad, and that explains the difference. The Rambam, however, in the Pirsha Mishnayos in Nida, we'll get to it a little bit later, we'll get to it on source 3 if you want to see it inside, he disagrees with Tosfos. He says that the Pshat in the Mishnah is because there's Ein Zechiah. We paskin Ein Zechiah. We paskin like the Chachamim. So Tosfos' answer can't work for the Rambam. So therefore, Reb Chaim says once again that this is based on the Yisod before, that had there been no other children, then the Shem Yoresh would have been enough to passel all of these people. Then he brings another raya from our sugya, from our Gemara, on Kufmem Beis Amid Beis. So as part of the whole discussion of whether Mezaka the Uber or not, Rava says that an Uber can't be Mamayit from the Chelek Bechor. And so that's mashma that an Ubar is nochel. If Rava says that's the reason why we have our Mishnah, so that's mashma then that an Ubar is nochel. But how could Rav Sheshes say that if Rav Sheshes holds that Ubar is ein lo zechiah? So therefore, once again, the Rambam says that you have to say that Rav Sheshes, both in Bava Basra as well as in Nida, disagrees with Shmuel in Yevamos. And nochel umanchil is also a function of the Shem Yoresh, and that, to me, is pretty intuitive. If you're talking about Nochel Manchil, so therefore, that's totally on a Shem Yoresh. You don't actually need to own the assets. And therefore, that's doche shar krovim, and that's why you can't eat the truma. And then finally, the last point that Reb Chaya makes before going into the Ravid, which I'm not going to talk about, he quotes the Rimagash, in Bava Basra. I think I have it here. It's on source number 17 on page 4, if you want to take a look. I'm going to read it outside for now. But the Rimagash asks, how can we say that that Rava, who holds that Mizakel Uber is Lokan Bava Basra, say that an Uber is not Mamayt Lechelik B'chara? That's obvious. You don't need it. If you hold that Uber is Ein Zocha, then why do you need a Zeres HaKasuf to tell me that an Uber is not Mamayt B'chara? So the Rimagash, he gives a very interesting answer. But Reb Chaim doesn't quote it in the Chidushei HaGrach. The Rimagash, he says that an Uber kind of exists on a sliding scale. It's relative. So if it's ultimately going to live, so then its existence now is so qualitatively different that it's lo bala olam. It's not here yet. It can't be zocha. But if it turns out that unfortunately it's a nefel, so then it's igloi milsalim afreya. That's the lashon that he uses. It's igloi milsalim afreya that it had reached its fullest existence, and so therefore. It is a part of the parsha of being able to be zoicha. Now, Reb Chaim doesn't quote that answer. Reb Chaim just quotes the Rimagash, that he asks this kasha, and then Reb Chaim says, oh, based on my yesodeg, once again, we can answer that. Because it has a shem yoresh, I would have thought that the status of that being a ma'ayv and b'chor should be totally on that. Kol mashmal nigzeres hakasuf, that no, it's not. In the pirated version of the Chidushei HaGrach on Bava Kamma, as well as in Rav Elchanan in the Kovetz Ha'aros, they both say that Reb Chaim actually used this to be masbir the Rimagash, which I don't really understand how you can say. They seem to be two very different ideas. And the Harai Reb Chaim doesn't say that that's pshat in the Rimagash. He just quotes the kasha of the Rimagash in a sefer on the Rambam. But I'm assuming Rav Elchanan didn't make it up, so I don't really know what to do with that. But just focusing on Reb Chaim in the Sefer, that's what Reb Chaim says, that once again, you can be Metaris, the Kash of the Rimagash, based off of his Yisod. So just to sum up, according to Reb Chaim, the Shem Yoresh gives you some relationship to the object. It should have been sufficient to create Kinyan Kaspo, but there's a Xeris HaKasuv that it doesn't. However, even though it's Mevatel your Kinyan Kaspo, it still empowers you enough to essentially impact others when they're qualitatively less of a Yoresh than you are. There are other points as well. So now what I'd like to do is to kind of see whether this Yisod of Reb Chaim has any support or disagreement with other Rishonim. So for this, I have to thank both Tyler, who's unfortunately not here, and also Rabbi David Hellman. He apparently gave a chabura on this topic like 12 years ago, and part of the chabura was focusing on comparing various Rishonim. So it's not he focused on a lot of other things, but this one part, I think it's nice just to approach, just to kind of put it in context, because I think it is a little bit nogea for what we'll do later on. Rabbi Hellman, he thinks that both the Rashbam and the Yad Ramah disagree with Reb Chaim's Yisod, and he thinks the Ramban at least agrees in part to the Rambam's Yisod. He disagrees in certain nekudos, but to the basic idea that a Shem Yoresh, or that the Yerusha can kind of be divided from Zechiah, has some support in the Ramban, and the Yad Ramah and the Rashbam seem to disagree. So in terms of the Yad Ramah, so if you look in on page 2 in source number 5, so this is on Kuf Mem Beis Amud Beis. So there are two that he's Mitzayan. So the first one is Os Chav Tes. He says Kitema Kevan de Uber Leis Le Zechiah. Had sheyulad imkain ben shenolad laachar misas aviv amayaris leila avu aklau Halesa b'shas nisas aviv delikni. And then he gives an answer based on certain gzeres akas, and certain gzeres akasus, and certain cheshbanos. This is also a question of Rav Elchanan in Kovetz Shiurim. But Rabbi Hellman pointed out that l'fi the yisod of the graph, this question never gets off the ground. According to Reb Chaim, of course it makes sense. Again, Reb Chaim doesn't explicitly address this point, but it's not a very far fetched thing to say that because you have a shame yoresh when you're born, you're able to yarshin. The reason why I say you could perhaps suggest that maybe that's what the Yad Ramah is saying in his answers. I don't think so. I think it's a pretty good raya. And then another raya that he brings is in Oslamid Beis, which is again, if you look at the end, the bolded part, V'gabe Yerusha de Oraisa ben ein lo amar rachmana v'lo uber. And so once again, Rabbi Hellman says that because you have this one-to-one relationship, that if you're a Yoresh, you can inherit. If you're not a Yoresh, you can't. According to Rabbi Chaim, it's not so clear-cut. Again, I think there is room to quibble and be mefalpel in that particular raya, but that's what Rabbi Hellman wanted to point out. Then he points out two Rashbams also. Once again, I think there is a little bit to be mefalpel here, but on Kufmem Beis Amid Beis, in Dibra Maschil Chayovin, so the Lashon of the Rashbam is Chayovin Lahachzir, so in that case where you thought they died and then they didn't die, and where you thought the Uber died and they didn't die and you have to give it back and then you can take it again. So we say Chayavin Lahachzir, so the Lashon of the Rashbam is Chayavin Lahachzir Kevin de Ishto Me'uberes Uber Yorish. So therefore, right at this point in the Gemara, we think that an Uber is Yorish. Alma Mezakel Uber Kana, and so therefore we're Medayik that Mezakel Uber is Kana. But then the Rashbam on Kufman Vez and Vez, when he says in Dibra Maschil Mar, by when Rava, who's Madcha de Braisa, he says that Rava holds the Uber Eino Yorish. He holds that an Uber is not Yorish. And he thinks, Rabbi Hellman thinks, that that's mashma, that it's only lefi the man de Omar that yesh zechi le'uber is an uber called a yoresh. Now, again, you could say that the Rashbam is talking about the act of Yerusha and not the status of Yerusha. And so, again, I don't know if that's a clear-cut raya. That's what he says. And then he brings another Rashbam, and Kuf Mem Aleph, and again, once again, I think it suffers from the same weakness, in Dibra Maschil Mishani. When he's talking about the Havamin of the Gemara, that you should be able to be manchal to an Ubar using the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, even though you need to be ro'oi liyos yoresh. So he says that even according to the man da amar ein zechiyah l'Ubar, nevertheless, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, ro'oi liyorsho lichishe yoled. So this is a whole machlokas in the Rishonim as to whether if you hold that you can be Yoresh, or you Yoresh b'shas maisa, or you're Yoresh or you're only Yoresh when you're actually born. So the Rashbam says that you would only be Yoresh after you're born. And so Rabbi Hellman says that according to Reb Chaim, you shouldn't need to say that. But even if you hold of Ein Zechi L'Uber, you're Ro'oi Le'Resh right now. You can't physically act on that because you don't have Zechiyah. But in terms of the ability to be a candidate for Yerusha, that should be sufficient. So once again, he thinks that the Rashbam argues with Reb Chaim. Now again, I think you could also say that he's talking about the act of Yerusha versus and the Yecholis to physically be Yarshan as opposed to just to be a candidate for it. But that's what he says. Then Rabbi Hellman points out that the Ramban, though, does seem to at least support Reb Chaim's Yesod in part. So the Ramban, it's in source number 6. So the Ramban asks, the Tosfos is Kasha Nida, which we spoke about earlier. Once again, why do we need a case of two wives? Why do we need a Grusha and an Isha Ksher? Why not just have just a Grusha? And so he gives a different answer than Tosfos. He says, V'yesh Omrim, D'gabi Misha yesh lo Isha Achas Grusha l'Rabbanan lo Achli Mishum Achin. Why? Because when it will ultimately be born, it won't be able to eat. It's very cryptic, but he says, since ultimately down the road when you're going to eat, so too, you should be able to eat b'shvil mishpacha now. Aval b'psula she'eno ma'achil lo'olam posul hume'achshav im ein lo'achin. But if you're never going to be able to eat, then it passes it if you don't have any peers in your kind of category of Yerusha, i.e. Achen. And then we once again get into the Cheshin and Lemiah thing. So he says that he acknowledges that the Ramban and Reb Chaim's version of the Rambam are somewhat different, but the basic yesod that we can essentially focus on, that the Uber essentially impacts these other people, that at least still exists. And the Rambam and the Ramban are disagreeing about how far that goes. The Rambam says that according to the Ramban, that it's mafkia the koach lahachil, as opposed to the Reb Chaim's version of the Rambam, where it's mafkia the status of kinyan kaspel in general. But the basic yisod that we can essentially differentiate between zechiyah and shen yoresh, and one being able to impact the other people in like sort of concentric circles of Yerusha and Kirva, that precedent exists in the Ramban as well. Okay, so that's kind of the shita of Reb Chaim's version of the Rambam within the general context of at least some of the other Rishonim. And Reb Chaim certainly does help to be masbir the Rambam. However, as I pointed out earlier, there are, I wouldn't say weaknesses to it, but there are things that people do take issue with. The first one is that and again, the Chazon Ish kind of rolls with this main yisod, that Reb Chaim essentially created a new category based off of several hanachos. He made up this new category of being a shem yoresh, and being a shem yoresh is not taloi on whether you're able to physically own it or not, or to act on owning it or not. And then, because he backed himself into that corner, then Reb Chaim needs to also make another assumption that kinyan kaspa would be impacted by the shem yoresh. And the Chazon Ish says that's a lot of extra steps, which he doesn't think is necessary. Okay, whatever, that's the Chazon Ish's main taina. Another thing, which again, I don't think is so problematic, but it is something to think about, and that is that the ratio of the Rambam, it comes out, is a completely made-up case. Meaning, usually the derech of the Rambam is to take things from a Mishnah, a Gemara, a Tosefta, or a Medrash. Over here, what comes out, the Rambam seems to be quoting the Mishnah of Yevamos with the Shita of Reb Yossi, which Reb Chaim says the Rambam doesn't hold like, and when compared to the Pirush HaMishnayis and the Rif and the Rimagash and basically everybody else who used the reason of Uber B'mezar Zaru, the Rambam flips the reason for Eino Yolud for a completely different reason according to Reb Chaim, which is not because of the Cheshvan of the Gemara and Yevamos, but rather it's because there's a Gzeres HaKasev that's Mafkia, the Kinyan Kaspo element of the Shem Yoresh. And so, again, I don't think that this is a bam kasha, but it's something to think about, that the Rambam essentially took a Mishnah and used it as a template for a shita that we don't paskin like, and then changed it around. So it's just something that's interesting to think about. With that in mind, I would like to go to other cases where the Rambam talks about Ubar, and the reason why it either can't be zoche or it doesn't, or it's a davar shalabu la'olam, and to kind of compare and contrast things in the Yad HaChazaka versus what he says in the Pirush HaMishnayos. So if you go to page 3, this is the section about the Daita Shaladim Krovar, Karov Eitzel Bino. So the maskana of our Gemara is that even though we hold Mizakar Lu'ubar is Eino Koner, at least that's the Pashtus of the end of our Sugya, nevertheless, in some contexts, it's a Machlokas HaRishonim, as we'll see, but in certain contexts, the Av can be Mizakar to his son because of this concept of Daita Shel Adam Krova Eitzel Bino. So there is a Machlokas HaRishonim as to the scope of that corollary. Some Rishonim say that this is a specific din of a for Shchiv Meira, that you're only allowed to do this for a Shchiv Meira, while other Rishonim say that no, that it's much more expansive, that any time you want to be mezakeh something to your unborn child, you can do that, because Daito Shel Adam Krov Eitzel Bino. One perhaps nafkamina is whether it can also be for a bas or not, it's a discussion. As we'll see in source number 7, this is the Sefer HaYitzer, he quotes that it's a machlokas ha-ge'onim. There's a machlokas ge'onim that says v'hilchasa mezakelubar lo kane b'ubar de'achrini lo kane b'ubar didei kane v'chein dasa ge'onim v'chein kasav Rabbi Shimon Cairo u'mistabra afilu b'toch arboim yom shel yitziras havla de'lo b'inin hakaras ubar. We'll see in the next section by Kiddushin that that's actually a significant cutoff point. But he says, as long as you know that it's there, even if you can't physically see it, and it's even qualitatively less ba'olam, nevertheless, you can still be mezakeh, even as a bari. V'yomer l'cheshetelet afilu bu'uber ba'oma. And he paskins l'cheshetelet works, that's a homachlokas, which I don't want to get into. He explains why. But then if you go to the third to last line at the very end, he says, avo rabbeinu hai omar, bein uber delay, bein uber da'oma lo kana b'kulhu. No, it doesn't work in all cases. So it's a machlokas ha-ge'onim, and some ge'onim say that it can work for a bari, and Rav Haigon is of the opinion that no, it only works for it only works as a matna shchiv meira. And if you look in source number 8, I'm not a bucky in the Sefer HaMekach HaMemkar, this is the place that people were mitzayin. He doesn't say this explicitly, but I think it's pretty, I think you can infer it pretty clearly that that's what Rabbeinu Hai says himself as well. That's probably where the Itter got it from. So how does the Beis Medrash of the Rambam paskin? So if you look in source number 9, the Rif in Bava Basra, he says quite clearly, Masnisen b'shchiv meira. He says very, very clearly that this entire halacha is only talking about shchiv meira. Similarly, in source number 10, the Rimagash also says that. Ha'omer im yolda ishti zachar yitamana ha'mas nisim b'shchiv meirahu. Divrei shchiv meira tichsuv v'nachmesurin aval bebari lo mishkachas la. Then he tries to bring some logical arguments for why that's the case. Okay, so we have the Rif and the Rimagash, they both say that. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos also says that. In the Pirush HaMishnayos to our sugya, he says, min ha'ikarim etzleinu, ha'mizakeh l'uber lo kana, ki lo tiskayim ha'akna ela lo'adam matzui b'foal. We only find that we can effectuate a hakna to somebody that is matzui b'foal. Now, Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro in his Biurim or something like that? I forget. He has a whole thing where he develops a different approach to the sugya, which I don't want to go into. He's medayik that he doesn't use the lashon of lo bo la'olam over here. And I don't know. I'm not sure. But that is a ha'ara that he makes. V'ha'uber eino ken. And whatever matzi b'foal means in uber is not that. And the reason why that's different is because and so perhaps you could, you know, have a different read, but I think it's pretty clear that the Rambam says that this halacha is only talking about a matna shchiv meira. And if you read it within the context of the Rimagash and the Rif and Rabbeinu Haigon, like it seems to make sense that there does seem to be that trend. However, if you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Mechira, that is very much not the case. If you turn the page, source number 4, the Rambam in Hilchos Mechira, he says, "Kishem shein adam makna davar shelo bo la'olam, kach ein adam makna lemi shelo bo la'olam." So he's talking very generally. We're not talking about shchiv meira here. He's just talking about general Hilchos Kinyanim. V'afilu ubar, harehu kimi shelo ba'olam. In ubar is somebody that is like they're not ba'olam. V'amizake l'ubar lo kana, and he paskins mizake l'ubar is lo kana. V'im hoya bino, hoil v'daita shel adam krova etzel bino kana. So the Rambam seems to paskin that it applies both for a bari as well as for a matna, as well as for matna shchiv meira, and he quotes our Gemara. And the Magid Mishnah says this Mefurish in source number 13. Vidas Rabbeinu Ikar Distam Amru. He thinks that we should pass on like the Rambam. The Rambam in source number 14 by Zechiyo Matana, he says Shchiv Meirash Etziva Lases Matana LeUber Shabimei Imo Zacha Ober Mnei Daita Shaladam Krov Eisel Bino Kimosha Biarnu. So there are some Achronim. I forget who because I didn't want to take time to bring it down. There are some Achronim that say that this Rambam is the Iker, and therefore they start asking kashas on the one on in Hilchos Mechira. I personally don't think that's very cogent because this is Kimosha Biarma. The Rambam is clearly saying that the Ikar one is in Hilchos Mechira, as he already delineated the parameters. And now, when we're talking about Matna Shchiv Meira, okay, now we'll go into details, and therefore I'll use the context of Matna Shchiv Meira. So I think then what emerges is that the Rambam shifted from the Yad from the Pirusha Mishnayis to the Yad HaChazaka. In the Pirusha Mishnayis, he followed his Rebbeim, the Rimagash, the Rif, and some of the Gaonim. And said that, no, it's dafka by Matna Shchiv Meira. And then, apparently, when he was writing the Arach HaZaka, he changed his mind and said, no, that it's really even by a bari. What prompted this change, I don't know. There's a possibility. We spoke about it on Sunday. One could argue, and I say this with Erech Efshar, because it's really a chicken and egg thing, and I don't know. I as Rabbi said, I looked in other places, both in the Pirush Mishnayos and in the Yad about the third parak of Kiddushin about Davar Shlobo Olam. I did not find any evidence either way. You could say that the shift is connected to what the Chisaron of Davar Shlobo Olam is. So, before we get to that, though, let's look in source 15, the Rashbam, where he says, Krova Eitzel Bino, the reason why a father can be mezake to his son. So the Rashbam understands the phrase of the Gemara that there's a certain element of smichas das here. That normally to another person, even though I'm saying I want to give it, I don't really have enough smichas das to shafa kinyan. When it comes to my own son, I'm doing it b'chol libo. That's sufficient. And I think the rationale is quite pashut that there's always this biderech efshar in your mind that it's not going to work out. Chas v'shalom, something will happen with the uber. And so subconsciously, there's something that's inhibiting a full-fledged hakna'ah. But when it's your own son, you're not really thinking about that. So that's what the Rashbam says. And once again, v'hilchos ha-mezake l'uber lo kana, k'Rabbi Yochanan, u'kegon she'eino b'no. Av ha-mezake l'uber she'bimei ishto kana de'daito shel adam krova etzel b'no. That's how the Rashbam paskins. If we look at the Rashba, and he quotes the Ramban, and the Ritva says this as well, the Mukhi Yosef says this as well, I think the Tosfos Rashi also does, essentially everybody in the base manager of the Ramban, they quote the Ramban, who says, Ramban, this is in the middle, Heshiv Alav, he argues with the Ravid, She'ein Oso Hadin Ela Takana Dafka B'Shchiv Meira. It's Dafka by Shchiv Meira, so they also hold that it's dafka by Shchiv Meira, v'lo shezocha me'achshav, ela l'cheshiyole zocha. They're your only zocha when you're born, ke'en Yerusha, because it's modeled after Yerusha, k'dei sh'latitarv daito alav, v'en adin kein bibari, hilkach, en raya mimenu l'din tara. So, this school of thought says that it's dafka by it's dafka by a Shchiv Meira, it's a takana. Chazal essentially said, look, Titarif Daita, we don't want that to happen in these last moments, so we're going to create a takana, but that's not relevant when you're a bari. And again, I think that's Mefurish and Ramban and the Rashba and the Ritva. So now we have this lineup or this connection that if you hold that it's dafka by a Shchiv Meira, it's because of a takana. And that's why it works. If you hold that it's because of, that it's even for a bari, why does that work? Because there's Gemira's Das. So now let's take it one step back. What's the reason why in general it doesn't work? It's because it's Lo Bola Ola. So what's the Chisaron of a Davar Shel Lo Bola Ola? So it's a huge sugya and we can't get into it all right now. There are two basic opinions. One is that there's a Chisaron, there's a fundamental Chisaron. There's just this operational issue. Reb Shimon says that it's a chisaron in the Maisa Kinyan, that you can't do stuff to things that don't exist. Reb Chaim in the Stencil says that it's a chisaron in the Bailus, that you can't own something that doesn't exist. Maybe there are some nafkaminas, but the common thread of those two is that there's something that's a fundamental issue. The other option, this was popularized by Rav Hanan based on a truth of the Rami Rittenberg, that it's a lack of gemiras das, which I think the Rashbam seems to say as well. So perhaps then you could suggest that this chakir is also at least connected. Again, chicken and egg, which one influences what, I don't know. But it's at least somewhat connected, that if you hold that it was dafka atakana for Ishkev Meira, then it makes sense to say that the chisaron was that there's a fundamental issue here which we needed to overcome. You can have all the gemiras das in the world that you want, but it doesn't matter because you can't act on something that doesn't exist either as a baal or as a maisikinyan. And so therefore Chazal needed to step in unilaterally, intervene and say, no, we're making a takana that you can. And so therefore we only made a takana by a matna shchiv meira. I'm not saying it's the only way to look at it. I'm just saying you could set it up that way. As opposed to the other way, that if you hold that it's a function of gemiras das, then there's no reason to differentiate or there's no reason to necessarily differentiate between a matnas bari and a matnas shchiv meira. And so perhaps then that kind of describes the shift of the Rambam from the Pirush HaMishnayos to the Yad HaChazaka. That in the Pirush HaMishnayos he was following his Rebbeim that the chisaron of Davar Shelo Bala'olam is something that's more fundamental, and Chazal created this takana. And that takana only works for a matnas shchiv meira, as opposed, and that's why he says it's eno bepoal. It doesn't mean that it's not a function of das. It's not ba'olam. It's eno befal. It's not here. The Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro says that eno befal is a reference to that rimagash that we saw earlier that has that kind of sliding scale. Of that the Uber, while it's if it ultimately lives, then it's not Ba'olam. And if it Chas V'Shalom dies, then relative to everything else, it is Ba'olam at this point, because that's as far as it's going to get. So perhaps that's where the Rambam was coming from in the Pirush HaMishnayos. When it comes to the Yad, though, we have a whole different issue. It's talking about Gemiras Das. And when we're talking about Gemiras Das, it's only kimi shelo bala olam. It is there. The only reason why I can't interact with it, it's not because if there's something fundamental that it's not here, or relatively speaking, it's not here. No, it's here, but there's a lack of chisaron das. It's kimi shelo bala olam. And in certain circumstances, that's not the case. In certain circumstances, even though this Uber is physically the exact same amount of existence as this other one, there's a halachic difference because of gemiras das. And therefore, that is... like it is ba'olam. It is kimi shebala olam. So perhaps that's the shift, yeah.
I guess I don't really fully understand how what you just said over explains the shift as much as just being factual. My recollection was like the Ramban and the other Rishonim who passed and it only works by Shemira explicitly argue and the other Rishonim and say that you can't be makid to something which isn't, or you can't be mocked as something which isn't there, you can't be mocked to something that's... I mean, they say that explicitly, that it's...
Right, okay. So I think that works, no?
But then, what do you add by saying, the Rambam was chozer from what he said in the Perush HaMishnayos to saying now, like, do you ease that difference by saying, this is the Havana of those other Rishonim, and this is the Havana of this Rishonim? Like, that's true. The Havana of the other Rishonim is that there's a fundamental chisaron, and Ken Zayinim, the Havana of the other Rishonim who say works by Bari is that it's a chisaron in gemiras das, but like it doesn't help the Rambam per se. Like that's true. That's the sheet of these Rishonim. That's the sheet of these Rishonim. But like it's still a steer, and you're still saying the Rambam was closer from the Sefer Perush HaMishnayos.
Right. I agree. That's why I said it, there is a chicken and egg thing. I'm suggesting that maybe the Rambam changed his conception of Davar Shelo Bala Olam, and that's what prompted the shift. But I really don't know. Like I said in the beginning, I'm pointing out data points here. I think this works. I don't know if that's... I don't think it's mochroch. You could say that that's what prompted the shift, but maybe it didn't. I don't know. I'm just saying, assuming you differentiate, this is kind of where you have to go. Yeah.
how would the way that we're reading the Rambam Hilchos Mechira, how would that work with the Rechaim's approach? Because it does sound like...
Oh, I don't think... I don't know if it necessarily does.
Right. So it would be negative. You'd have to say a different shot in the Rambam Hilchos Trumos.
Yeah.
And explain why Cholol is not possible. Because here it's Kenyan. Meaning, the Mahi B'no Ho, but that's the Krovei, it's a B'no Kana.
Rechaim addressed that. That's what it's... That's only
later.
It's only once it's born.
Right. So you have sufficient Miras Das, and therefore when it is Bala Olam, it will be cut.
Yeah.
Okay. Even the Maisa King is happening, yeah, or the Zichud. Okay.
So the impact that it'll have later on, you're saying that should be...
It's like that opinion that says...
Oh, it'll just happen later. Okay.
Rabbi, no, but we don't have a sheet of that. Me, Rabbi Meir limits the Lamisha a little above. This would be a unique case in which we're circumventing that difference, and therefore the Kenyan's being chal later when the person comes. Okay.
So that's, I think, one case where it's very mochrach that there was a shift between the Pirshei Mishnayos and the Yad. The second one, we spoke about this, about Kiddushin Le'Ober, and I don't think I was right. I think that I don't think that there was a shift, but there is a red herring, and there are some achronim, the way they understand it, that you could read into it as a shift. I want to go through it. So based on a gemara in Kiddushin that says that well, the Rambam quotes it. Im haisa is the Pirshei Mishnayos. Im haisa eishes chaveru meuberes. So if a guy walks up to the wife of his friend, that's the lashon of the Rambam, and he says that I want to be Mekadesh, your unborn daughter. So it says that doesn't work. But according to the Girsa of the Rambam, if it's hukar ubra, then it does work. So that's the Mishnah. The Rambam says, that you need to be, do another Maisa Kiddushin after she's born. And then it'll be mutter for you to live with her. So what does the Mishnah mean? Either Eishes Ish according to the more updated translations, or Ki Eishes Ish according to the older ones. I think that may have been possibly where where at least some of the Achronim's understandings came from. But regardless, the Rambam says that you need to do another Maisa Kiddushin, and the reason is because it's a Davar Shelo Bala Olam. And the reason why the Mishnah says that it's Chal is because it's Lahachmir, that she has the status either of an Eishes Ish or like an Eishes Ish. So now let's just see the Rambam in Hilchos Ishus, and this is the Ktzosis Raya that the Rambam holds Yesh Zechiya Le'Ober, which, as we'll see, according to many Achronim, is not necessarily Mochrach. The Rambam says, Omer lechaveiro im yolda ishtecha nekeva harei mekudeshes li bazelo amar klum, v'moyse Eishes chaveiro meuberes v'hukar ha'uber harei ze mekudeshes. Fine, so far so good. V'eirali shetzarech le'achzor l'kadesh osam me'avia achar shetzivolei. So the reason is to avoid a kiddushin she'ein behen dofi. So there was a whole discussion amongst the early achronim as to what that means, whether you're married midoraisa or midrabanan. The Magid Mishnah understands it's doraisa. The Radvaz in a tshuva, he says it's so great. He says it's a very funny lashon. The case was. I'm assuming it's a town in Egypt. I tried looking it up, but two men were in like a bar. They were discussing. They got drunk. They were having fun, and they said, "I want to marry your unborn daughter." And he gives him a cup of wine as like a handshake, and he drinks it. So now the shy Liz does the child that was born later on does she need a get? So it's very rare that you have mefurish cases in Mishnayos that come up in real life, but apparently this was one of them. And so the Radvaz says it depends if it's hukar ubar or not. And he says if it's hukar ubar, it's mefurish or Rambam. And some people go back and forth, they're trying to figure out whether you're married midoraisa or midrabanan, but he says according to the Rambam in the Yad, it's mefurish that you're married doraisa. Why? He says because the lashon of the Rambam is that you're mikudeshes, but you just have to do another Maisa Kedushin because of She'en Behen Dofi. So he says, it's a good Kedushin, but it's Bedofi. So he just restates the Rambam. He doesn't bring any proof. He just says that's the lashon of the Rambam. And so the lashon of the Rambam is that it's a valid Maisa Kedushin, but there's a little bit of a chisaron, and he doesn't explain what it is. So there are some achronim. So the Ktos says, this is a raya that you hold yesh zechiyah le'ubar, and the Rambam must have been chozer. From what he said, and the Rambam wasn't chazer. Sorry, and so the Rambam must hold that it's even though it's a davar shalobal olam, you could still have zechiyah. And then, based off of that, the Lecha Mishnah in source number 20, he asks from the Rambam we brought earlier, where the Rambam clearly says that that's not true, and so there, so that prompts the Ktos to try to say some interesting things. There are some achronim, though, that say that there actually was a shift. That according to the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnah, it was a chumra ba'alma. That lahachmir doesn't mean doraisa. It means you're married to Rabbanan, but it means we're only choshesh because of the chomer of Eishes Ish. The Rav and others, though, don't learn it that way. They say, and Rav Moshe and the Netziv and the Meshav Davar, they both understand. They don't have the gears of ki eishes ish. They just say eishes ish, and they say lahachmir doesn't mean chumra ba'alma. It means like the lashon of the Rambam and many other places. That it just means that there's a tzad hachomer over here. And so there are many kind of ways to answer why the Rambam holds ein zechi le'ubar and nevertheless the kedushin is chal sort of halfway on this. On this Ubar, why Kiddushin is different, there are several answers. Reb Chaim says that there's a difference between a Maise Kinyan, or that there's a difference between essentially assuring her to everybody else and acquiring her versus being married to her. So he says being married to her is totally on the shame Isha, and this Ubar is not an Isha, as opposed to the actual kinyan, which can be worked out. Moshe Shmuel Shapiro is a medayik from the Pirush HaMishnayos that's not he doesn't think that the Pirush HaMishnayos part at least supports the Reb Chaim because he clearly talks about ishus there. The Rambam clearly mentions that there's a status of ishus, and you can actually, according to many achronim, kill somebody for living with this girl before a second Maisa Kedushin. That there is an iser of ishus ish. The Rogachover and the Sofmas Paneach over here, he has a very interesting, I'm assuming he was somewhat influenced, I don't know necessarily with modern science, but like biologically, we have the Medrash that Dina was initially supposed to be a girl, was supposed to be a boy, and then people davened, and Hashem changed her into a girl. And so he says that in Ubar exists, but it only exists bichlalus. It doesn't exist for pratim. That's the lashon that he uses. He's mechalik between klalim and pratim. So in terms of general existence, it exists. But when it comes to pratim, whether it's an ish or an isha, whether it's a kohen or a levi or a yisrael, pratim have not been established yet until it's born. He has a lot of rayas kedarko. The Pnei Yoshua in Yevamos, he gives a chiluk between zechiyah, being mezakeh something, versus just affecting a chalos. But I think the simplest is that of Rav Moshe and the Igros Moshe, as well as the Netziv and the Meshav Davar. They both say that there's a difference between kedusha and either mumminess, which I think is kind of a misinterpretation. There was a psak din in the Beis Din in one of the Batei Dinim in Eretz Yisrael that interpreted it as a chiluk between kedusha and mumminess. I don't think that's true. If you look in the language of the Igros Moshe, at least the chiluk is between kedusha and kinyanim. That's how Rav Moshe phrased it. Again, you could interpret it as mumminess, but I don't think it's as precise. So the way Rav Moshe says is that we know from, he quotes the Gemara Bechoros, that you can create kedusha on something that doesn't exist yet. You can be makdish in Ubar or something like that. And so because kedushin comes from the word kedusha of lesra aleo kule alma kehektish, so that aspect, that tzad ha kedusha, or the tzad ha iser, that it's like almost the exact opposite of the Ragachavar and Reb Chaim, that you can create the Tzad HaYisr, that you can make her an Eishes Ish, but you just don't own her. She's not your Isha yet. But she has the status of Eishes Ish. Now, because you haven't been machnes her to your Rishus, like the Lashon of the Rambam, so at that point you're not able to live with her yet, just like you're not able to live with somebody that you haven't done the suin with or something like that. So that's where Rav Moshe comes from. So if you have that position, then there's really no chilik here. There's no shift between the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos and the Rambam in the Arach HaZaka. If you understand like the Achronim that it means a chumra, then you would have another shift, and perhaps you could attribute that to how ba'olam it is. And maybe there's a chilik between dofi and the reality of lo ba'olam in the Rambam. But once again, I don't think that that's... I think that Rav Moshe and the Netziv's way is much more mokra. Okay. So now that we've gone to that, I want to kind of revisit the Gemara, the Rambam on Trumas, and kind of look at it in light of that shift between Lo Bala Olam and Bala Olam, and that shift from the Pirush HaMishnayos to the Arach HaZaka. So, according to according to the Rambam in the Yad, that the Chisaron of Davar Shelo Bala Olam is a Vart in Smichas Das, and therefore you can be Maknit as a Matnas Bari to the Krov Adayt HaShal Demetzel Bino. At that point, then, it would not be a stretch to say that Yerusha Haba Memela should also work, right? If you're able to, if the whole thing is a chisaron in Gemiras Das, then maybe you should be able to say that over here, where no Das is required, Bechlal, and it is Ba'ola, right? It exists, and the only reason why I can't is because I don't have enough Das. So in a scenario where you don't need Das, then maybe you should go like the Tzad and the Gemara that Yerusha Abamemela works. And so while you can't be mizake to another Uber, maybe we should say like those Amoraim that say that Yerusha Abamemela is Shani. And so therefore, if that's the case, technically speaking, the Kohanim or the Avadim of this Almana, this Bas Yisrael who's pregnant, she should be able to eat, right? Because nobody's being makna these avadim. Rather, they should be able to eat because he yarshins it. And the only reason why we don't is because of the gzeres hakazav of yalud v'sheino yalud. Now, this doesn't work according to the Shmuel's conception of the chachamim in Yivamish. But Reb Chaim already asserted that there's a machlokas asugya. So Reb Chaim already said that the Gemara in Bava Basra and the Gemara in Nida disagree with the Gemara in Yevamos. So perhaps we could say that according to Rav Sheshes, the technically, strictly speaking, they should be able to yarshin these avadim, and the reason why they don't is not because of Ein Zechia Le'ubar or Ein Kenyan Le'ubar, like the Rambam says in the Pirush HaMishnayos, because he was chozer from that. Why is he chozer from that? Because for I don't know why. Maybe he had a different conception of lo bala olam. I'm not sure. But he was chozer. So why halacha lemaisa do the chachamim say you can't eat? They argue with Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah. So what's the reason? This is gzeres hakasav of yalud v'sheino yalud, and it has nothing to do with davar shelo bala olam or not. And that's why the Rambam doesn't mention that in the Arach HaZaka. In the Pirush HaMishnayos he does, because we're talking about the other conception. But in the Yad, the Rambam doesn't mention it. It has nothing to do with Lobo Olam. It has nothing to do with Mizake Le'ubar. They do get it. But nevertheless, it's Exeris HaKasav of Yalud V'She'eno Yalud. According to, and also Lefi that, right? So the Rambam, the Rimagash's question of why Rava needs a special Exeris HaKasav to teach me that in Uber is not Mamai Bechelek HaBechara. So the Rimagash asked, as we've said a couple of times already, why do I need that if we hold Uber Ein Lo Zechiyah? And so the Rimagash gives his whole answer, that it's relative, if it would have died, it wouldn't work. There's another option. The Chazanish is Mitzayanis. If you look in the Rashbam, And once the Rashbam also agrees with the sentiment that the chisaron of lo ba'al olam is gemiras das. So if you look in if you look on Kufman Beis Amud Beis, the Rashbam already addresses the kash of the Rimagash. In the Dibra Maskel Mar Breid de Rav Yosef Mishmei de Rava Amar lo olam emalach zimnin dehi maisei bereishav achar kach ubar. Okay, so that's the opinion of Rava, and then he asks, which the Rambam also paskins that that's the reason. If you look in Hilchos Nachlus, that's how the Rambam paskins. He paskins like Rava. I mean, he paskins, you know, kishnei lishni like our Gemara, but he mentions Rava, and so so he asks, so the kash of the Magash. So why do I need it then? So he says, Shani Hasam Shani Hasam Kara Marpai Ripo Marpai Biadayu, Vasilamar de Uber Eno Yoresh. Shitas Hagimara Huze Azil Hacha Vikamadhile. Vazil Hacha Vikamadhile. Ula Olam Hach Mishna de Ben Yom Echa Nochal Manchalav Lamute over me din Yerushal, Mute Deino Mai Bechelik Bacharach Mfash Vazil. And so according to the Rashbam, at least at this stage in the Gemara, Rava holds that Uber is Yoresh. That you can't be Yoresh. It's only to be Mezaked. It's only to be Mamai Bebechor. That it's Eno Mamai Bebechor. That's why we need a Gzeres HaKasav. So perhaps the Rambam held the same thing. If they both hold the same idea of Lo Ba Lo Olam, if they both say that, then perhaps they agree the same thing here. Now, what I said earlier, that Rabbi Hellman said that the Rashbam disagrees with the Rambam in terms of the scope of Krova Daito Etzel Bino. In terms of the Yisod Reb Chaim, okay, maybe there's what to be mefalpel, but according to this, I would like to suggest that the Rambam and the Rashbam hold very similarly that in a Hanami, when it comes to passive Yerusha, there is Yesh Kenyan Le'ubar Lemaskan. When we're talking about active, then that only works by a father to a son. You can't do it to some. You can't do it to a stranger. But as long as it's passive, there shouldn't be a problem. What about by the Reisha of the Rambam? So the Reisha of the Rambam, the reason why over there it's not a problem is because of the reason why over there they don't eat is because of Gzeres HaKasav. And so because of that Gzeres HaKasav Lefichach, it also works the other way as well. That when you have two wives and you have the chalal, so there too, it doesn't, it shouldn't impact because of the Gzeres HaKasav. If there wasn't a Gzeres HaKasav, that would be a very different discussion. And that also, I think, works very nicely with the Gemara in Nida. Because of over there, the entire Gemara of Nida is very short. It says that it's la'afuke. It's coming to be la'afuke Reb Yossi. The only thing it says, and it's very terse, and again, you could just lavdafka this raya, but the only thing that it says, it's on the very bottom of Mem Dalet Amid Aleph, right above the two dots at the bottom. He says, "Ulafuke mid Reb Yossi damar ubal nami posel kamash malan ben yom echad in ubar lo." It doesn't give any other cheshbonos over here. It doesn't give of bala olam, lo bala olam, you know, mizaka, not mizaka, kona, not kona. It doesn't say any of that. All it says is just, we're talking about the objective din that comes from the Gzeres HaKasav. And so therefore, that also explains why the Rambam shifted from the Pir Shemeshnayas to the Yad. The only issue, I think, that could still remain, that still remains, or at least a taina that the Chazon Ish had on Reb Chaim, which also would remain based on the way I'm explaining the Rambam, is that according to what we're saying now, there really shouldn't be, strictly speaking, there shouldn't be a difference between a Bas Kohen and a Bas Yisrael. So the Chazon Ish asked, according to Reb Chaim, according to what you're saying, that we're not following Reb Yossi or anything like that, then there shouldn't be any difference between a Bas Yisrael and a Bas Kohen. So why does the Rambam use the case of Dafka Bas Kohen? Bas Yisrael, rather. So you could ask the same question the way I'm explaining it, because it shouldn't make a difference. Perhaps you could say that the Rambam was kind of basing it off of the Mishnah anyway, and this he was essentially rewriting the Mishnah according to the Chachamim, but he wanted to keep it as close to the Lashon of the Mishnah, but it's a bit of a daichik. So that's just one thing to keep in mind. I think that's about it in terms of what I have.
Cool. Okay. Well, that's a topic.